Good morning. I am Frank Vaughn. It is February 9th, 2026, and we're going to continue telling the story of Canada, which is being steered into economic decline. And that's not some conspiracy theory. That's not me telling you that. That is Mark Carney. That is Doug Ford. That is Stephen Harper. And it's kind of crazy because it's a message that seems to be selling to people with, and it's like they cannot comprehend what that actually translates to in terms of your pocketbook and your ability to survive in this country. First thing I want to do is announce that I bought myself a StreamYard license. I finally broke down and did it. $600 Canadian for 1 year, $50 a month. So we're going to have to make use of it doing interviews and streams and fun things as time progresses. I've figured out how to use it. I think I'm ready to go. But let's move on. I want to talk about, just as an open, the continuing rehabilitation. That's what I would call it. Rehabilitation. I'm too big. Rehabilitation of Stephen Harper. Senate page fired for anti-Harper protest. This is from June 3rd, 2011. Full court press she got for walking onto the Senate floor with a Stop Harper sign. It was actually bilingual. On the other side, it said Arrête Harper. The 21-year-old page lost her job Friday and public outrage ensued. This is another one. From 2015, is Stephen Harper Americanizing Canada? Now, admittedly, it's the BBC, but this is symbolic of everything the Canadian media was saying at the time. You got to remember, they were telling you that Stephen Harper was Republican North. Mike Harris, not the former premier, but the author, wrote a book somewhere on my shelf over there, is the book he wrote, Party of One, in which he describes Stephen Harper's political training happening in the United States and how he was just a Republican up here to help sell Canada to the United States. Now he's been dusted off. They've thrown a flag around his shoulders as the great unifier, as the great statesman trying to save Canada. And I got to tell you, one of the things that we should probably get into is what Stephen Harper's been doing since he was prime minister. This isn't exactly a man who's quietly gone into retirement. He has been working full-time for globalist causes this entire time. And they expect the Canadian public to completely forget this history, how the left and how the media portrayed Harper in 2015. And they're probably going to get their way because, again, the Canadian public, a lot of the Canadian public, is among the most hypnotized and propagandized in the world. And so now the left is embracing him as some kind of national hero. In addition to this being the same Stephen Harper that was demonized by the media prior to Justin Trudeau's election, this is also the same Stephen Harper that went to secret bohemian summer camp, as the CBC downplays the thing. XPM joined Male Elite California Retreat for a nice discussion. Colin Powell says in hacked email, they're very concerned to let you know that it's hacked, but it was authentic. Bohemian Grove with the male hookers and the mock ritual sacrifice and all of the other things they get up to in the bush. That's where Stephen Harper was. And so moving on to today, Responsible Statecraft is a publication, and they say, U.S.-based publication, Canada's move suggests USMCA is on life support. And if we go down, let's just read it for a minute. Over the space of 24 hours, three major figures in Canadian politics and economics have signaled their desire to take steps that will undo the tight coupling of their economy with that of the United States. This comes as the U.S.-Mexico-Canada treaty is up for review, but their pronouncements strongly hint that Canadian officials are thinking of the trade pact as being on life support anyway. Remember, Mark Carney campaigned about saving this and getting a good trade deal for Canada. And then after he was elected, just like on so many things, and we'll get to some of those things, he pivoted into a completely new message. He's doing a lot of things liberal voters did not elect him to do, and they're just sleepwalking along with it because they are so blinded by their hatred of Donald Trump. They're missing the destruction of what's left of their country, and they're missing it while they're gathered under a banner of saving Canada. In a speech late Wednesday at a gala in Ottawa, former Conservative Prime Minister Stephen Harper, who held office between 2006 and 2015, said Canada must adapt to new geopolitical realities. To be clear, these realities mean we must reduce our dependence on the United States. Why? Why must we reduce that dependence? Proximity dictates that a nation of 34 million people with a shrinking population, we'll get into that next, of 34 million people must do business with the world's largest economy, which is right next door and has 340 million people. We share a continent, and there's two great big oceans between us and everybody else. That's geopolitical reality. He cautioned Canadian business people that to hope for a return to a world where they enjoyed secure, predictable access to U.S. markets was not a safe assumption. Why? Why is it not a safe assumption? What exactly did the Americans do that warrants this level of reaction? They charged some tariffs. Donald Trump does some memeing about Canada as the 51st state. He mocked Justin Trudeau by calling him Governor Trudeau. Remember, it was Stephen Harper that told you that Justin Trudeau was not ready to be prime minister and predicted the doom and gloom that Canada would become, even though Harper kicked open many of the doors that Justin Trudeau walked through. Setting that aside for a minute, remembering the messaging, remembering the historical context that goes behind all of this. For a few insulting words, Canada is going to deconstruct and collapse our economy. It doesn't make any sense, folks. There's something much bigger going on here. Following up Thursday morning, Bank of Canada Governor Tiff Macklem said in a speech that the era of rules-based trade with the U.S. is over. Why is it over? There's no reason for these pronouncements. There's no reason for this reaction. There's a much bigger objective and a much bigger goal going on here. I don't pretend to see what their vision is for outcome, because their trajectory is going to make us economic dependencies, whether on the United States or someone else. Canada is not going to get stronger out of this. And all of the numbers tell us that Canada is weakening as capital prepares for the nightmare our politicians, including our former Prime Minister Stephen Harper, are promising us. In unison, they're united together. And just before Macklem spoke, Prime Minister Mark Carney announced measures to protect the Canadian auto industry, the sector that is most deeply intertwined with its American counterpart. Nothing about the Carney government protects the auto industry. By letting Chinese EVs into our market, which will outcompete domestic production, because we are so overregulated, there is no hope in hell that any domestic production can compete with cheap Chinese vehicles. What they're actually doing is putting the nails in the coffin of the auto industry. And again, they're calling it saving it. It's kind of insane. I really want to touch on this. Carney Ford discussed idea of an early federal election to secure a majority. They really want the optics of a majority. They are proceeding with their agenda regardless of whether they have the majority or not. They don't even really need it technically, because they can rule through the Governor General's office. They can literally suspend Parliament. They can send it home. They can prorogue. You don't need to have the people you elect sitting in Parliament for the government to function. They can rule through the Governor General's office almost indefinitely with some constitutional restrictions. Are you surprised, considering Ford and Carney go to a pizza place, pizza of all things, in this climate of Epstein, which we haven't really gotten into, and all the emails about beef jerky, and all of the people that are being implicated, the UK government is about to fall, likely triggering an election there because of the exposure of high-level government officials wandering around in underwear, partying with 20-something girls that were peddled to them by Epstein. Like, we're only beginning to scratch the surface. And there's been a lot of gaslighting. You know, there's this argument that Donald Trump is trying to cover up everything, and like, he was downplaying it too. And what's the truth behind that? Maybe it's a deception, because a lot of his opponents are facing tough headwinds because of the way that this has all transpired. I don't pretend to know, but I think the revelations are incredibly damaging to a lot of people. But at any rate, Doug Ford has been working to undermine the Conservative Party of Canada. He's been working to undermine Pierre Poilievre ever since Pierre Poilievre became leader. You could argue it's simply because after the PC government in Ontario, which is a very liberal, communist, pinko government, Rob Ford, we must remember, told us that his brother Doug was a pinko, This PC party kicked out Roman Baber for having a difference of opinion, and Pierre Polyev gave Roman a job. It could all just stem back to that, but I'm pretty sure we can all agree that Doug Ford is just a Davos globalist hunk of junk working in tandem with Mark Carney, and I have no doubt that they are coordinating behind the scenes because they're coordinating in the open. Now, I've talked to you about the deficit, $100 billion deficit when we're supposedly not in a crisis. I've talked to you about that. We'll probably talk about it again as it grows. We've talked about capital flight from Canada as billions and billions of dollars are getting out as quick as they can because of a lot of it has to do with Doug Ford's shenanigans when it comes to Diageo and dumping out the Crown Royal. People are really scared to park their money in this sinking ship known as Canada. Now, one of the things that we've talked about, but maybe not in this context, is that's not even true. I talked to you about this before Carney got elected, talking about a housing crisis. Remember he was going to build 500,000 homes a year? I remember telling you before he was elected that there was no housing crisis. We had an immigration crisis. And as soon as Carney got elected, the idea of building 500,000 homes a year disappeared. And it disappeared because it's not necessary and it was never going to happen. What the Liberals have done instead is starting to curb TFWs, starting to curb the IMP program, talking about cancellation of permanent residency status and sending people home. And just to touch on it quickly, the population of Ontario fell last year. It's projected to fall this year. It's projected to fall in 27. They say in this report that it will return to growth, but I have doubts about that. They have to create the impression that things will return to normal because this is happening. GTA average home price dips under 1 million for the first time in 5 years. So we know that there's a lot of mortgage renewals coming up in 2026. People that signed for 5 years, ridiculously cheap mortgages. Like we're talking sub 2% mortgages, crazy rates, way lower than anything I ever paid. And those people are coming up for renewal and they're going to be paying 4%, 5%, depends on their credit. They're going to be paying a lot more and they're going to be renewing. And this is the trick. On homes they bought in a very hot, hyperinflated real estate market that was being driven by money laundering from criminal cartels, largely, and high immigration as well. I mean, the primary thing was money laundering, and some of that is drying up. You see, we had an immigration problem, and we have a dark money problem, and both of those things are starting to dry up, and you're seeing it. So the people that legitimately bought these overvalued homes, they're now coming up for renewal, and they're finding out that their home is only, you can only fetch 60%, 70% of its former value that you paid for it on the open market. If the bank decides they want to renew your mortgage, even though your house is not worth the value of your mortgage, you're going to be paying an insanely large price to carry a multi-hundred-thousand-dollar debt that you can't get out of by selling. You know, there's something like 50% of real estate agents in Toronto haven't sold anything in a year. The real estate industry is wrecked. Now, I've seen, and the reason I'm bringing this up today is I'm starting to see media on YouTube talk about how the turnaround is just ahead, that by spring and summer, we're going to get a bounce and we're going to start resuming the up and to the right trajectory we were on for the last decade. These people are lying to you or they're ignorant. We haven't even started the trouble yet. And like, I mean, for me personally, from these prices here in the major urban centers, whether you're talking about Vancouver, you're talking about Toronto, or even Edmonton and Calgary, you're going to see more haircutting. You're going to see values go lower and you can just write off 2026. There's no hope coming for you this year. So as populations are in decline, as housing prices come down, guess what? The housing crisis goes away because the housing crisis was always about immigration and always about money laundering. And as those two things slow, all of a sudden you have no housing crisis. The other thing that's going on at the same time is if you're stalling immigration, if you're slowing it down, unfortunately speaking, time moves on. There's a lot of baby boomers who aren't going to be around in 5 or 10 years, and their housing supply is going to come onto the market, which puts more downward pressure. So if you're not mass immigrating anymore, again, you don't have a housing crisis. What you're going to have is a valuation crisis. So people who have been sitting on their real estate, watching it appreciate through their 50s and through their 60s, and now they're looking to sell and retire if they haven't sold already, are going to find they can't get, eventually I think it's going to be, you can't even get half of what you could have gotten in 2022 for your house. So retirements, people's retirement dreams are drying up. I don't really think the majority of baby boomers understand how much of their wealth is already gone. Because if they're not watching YouTube, if they're not watching the alternative media, if they're still tuned into 24-hour news stations, nobody's telling you how wrecked you are. They're telling you it's a momentary hiccup on the otherwise guaranteed price appreciation that all real estate owners can expect. They may not even realize that their retirement is being ripped out from under them because they won't be able to readily sell their house. At the same time, you have inflationary pressure, which is destined to ratchet up. When you have a $100 billion deficit, and you already have since December 16th, the central bank is engaged in soft QE. They've buried it in a bunch of different words, and I've had some people try to argue with me that them printing money out of nothing and walking right across the road and buying treasuries isn't QE. It is. So inflationary pressure is destined to ratchet up at the same time as the central bank has no interest, at least displayed so far, in cutting interest rates. They're going to make all of these mortgage holders re-sign higher. And it's going to keep downward pressure across the board. So you can forget about the 500,000 homes a year. It's not necessary. There's going to be a glut of homes coming on the market. There's going to be a lot of wrecked people. And I've been trying to warn you about it since before Carney came along. Sticking to the theme, I know this came out a couple days ago, but we got to talk about it. Canadian job loss is 10x larger than adjusted data shows. Here's better dwelling. We have to rely on better dwelling. We have to rely on better dwelling to tell us the truth because the government's not going to tell us the truth. Canada is losing jobs, but don't worry. It needs less of them. That was the general takeaway from StatsCan this morning. Despite the agency reporting fewer jobs in January, the headline unemployment rate fell as fewer job seekers were in the market. Before bragging about how great the economy is, it's worth understanding the reduced jobless rate only exists in models, not in the real world. The agency's unadjusted data actually reveals the unemployment rate is rising, especially for young adults. Listen, the economy's falling apart all around you. And just because you don't realize it, just because you're not being told about it, doesn't mean the reality exists. $100 billion deficits, capital flight from Canada, destruction, wreckage, pandemonium in the real estate markets in the urban centers. There are places that are bucking that trend. Quebec seems all right. Saskatchewan's doing okay. There's places in Alberta, but all the urban centers are wrecked. Canada lost 25,000 jobs. Unemployment rate falls as job seekers drop. Canadian unemployment eroded last month. Employment fell by 0.1%, 25,000 jobs. But in seasonal adjustments, no one can hear you scream. Unadjusted data tells a slightly different story. Slightly. Showing a loss of 261,000 jobs in January. 261,000 jobs. That's an insane number. The unemployment rate climbed 0.5 points in response, hitting a five-month high of 6.7%. This data also throws a kink in most of the takes from economists this morning. The most common assumption is throttled immigration. Primarily, international students helped the data. There were fewer jobs, but less people needed one with the reduced population. This group largely falls into categories of young adults who are getting match wrecked. By the way, we can just drop off there. I don't think we need to go into this any further. The case is so crystal clear that the Canadian economy is wrecked, and that's before we lose our biggest trade agreement with the United States, which your politicians are all universally telling you. They're not interested in saving anymore, even though they campaigned on saving that agreement and negotiating a deal. They've more or less indicated that they're not even going to try. There's a very large segment of the population in Canada that is morbidly addicted to the mainstream media. They either get it from the radio or they get it from the 24-hour news stations, and they are woefully uninformed, and yet they believe they are dialed in. They're propagandized. They're getting bombarded. Yeah, I made this point on X, actually. We should go and check it out. We should go and check out the point I made on X. The post reads, it's not the Americans running anti-Canadian propaganda on the radio and TV or printing it in its newspapers. It's a trade dispute and people are acting like it's D-Day. It's going to be D-Day for Canada. We're setting up a situation where it's going to lead to the very thing your politicians are telling you they're trying to avoid through suffering. We've lost our minds and all we are embracing is unnecessary pain. The people, especially in the East, are being bombarded on the radio every single day about how they can stick it to Americans. Don't buy social media advertising for your business, even though that is the leading way to be successful when it comes to advertising. Stick to print media. Print media, as it's disappearing across the country. Print media, or buy radio advertising, which is only getting more expensive, or buy TV advertising, which most mom and pa shops can't afford. That's the advice. That's the advertising space that's being purchased on those very radio waves. You're being told that you must divest from the United States at all costs. And there's the demographic that it's hitting is the older demographic. And there's a lot of people. I want to be very clear because people always get upset. There's a lot of people, millions of people in that demographic who don't fit what I'm about to describe. But the majority, two-thirds of the baby boomer generation, are hypnotized and programmed, and they are absolutely putting the screws to the younger generations, which is why the younger generations are drifting right. Now, before you say that I am holding up Pierre Poilievre as the savior of Canada, he can't get his story straight. The Conservative Party can't seem to get their story straight. You know, if they really wanted to lead, if they really wanted to champion a different direction, they'd be coming out against Doug Ford. They'd be coming out against their legacy in Stephen Harper. They'd be fighting that legacy. They'd be saying that Stephen and his government and the old CPC made a mistake when they signed the Foreign Investment Protection Act, when they wanted to get us involved in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was only torpedoed because of the coming of Trump, which would have been even more terrible for Canada. They would be coming out against the message of doom and belt tightening and suffering because we're trying to divest from the United States, something we can't do. Pierre's not doing that. He's not taking that track. It's the only track that would work. People are desperate. And the fact of the matter is, there's one part of this country, there's actually a couple parts of the country. Western Canada understands the direction. A lot of people here understand the direction that Ottawa is trying to take us. We understand the hypnosis, which is why the independence movements are taking off. We got to get out. And we might need outside help to do it. Quebec, by the way, with all the reaction that's happening, everybody getting angry at Western Canada for wanting to take our ball and go play in another court, Quebec is doing the same thing. The Parti Québécois looks to be set to win a provincial election, and they have promised a referendum on separation. They're working on leaving too. They already have infrastructure in place, folks. They've got a federal party called the Bloc Québécois that sits in the federal parliament dedicated to sovereignty for Quebec. And they've got a provincial party about to form a government. They're so far advanced in terms of their separatism. And yet I'm told it's Jeffrey Rath and petition signers. Those are the threats to Canada. No, the threat to Canada is in Ottawa. They've killed Canada. They're propagandizing people into embracing the death of this country. And those people don't realize it. And they skew older. It's insane. And if you go through these comments, you're going to find that people, I don't really need to go through them individually, that the consensus is Donald Trump is the great threat to Canada. That big bad man, they call him Mango something or other. There's always some kind of clever poetry, or they're trying to be clever and it just comes across as juvenile. They don't seem to understand that the wolf is in the chicken pen right now in Canada among the people, telling them they're about to get fleeced, and they're just like, yeah, fleece me, baby. I think it's obvious at this point that the key reason for the strength and the growing strength of the independence movement is that there are tens of millions of people in this country who are completely divorced from reality, completely divorced from the truth. They blame Donald Trump for things. I've seen it myself. They blame Donald Trump for things that happened 10, 12, 15 years ago, consequences and knock-on effects of the decisions of both conservative and liberal governments that have tanked Canada's prospects as a sovereign nation. We've already been gutted. We've already been betrayed. We've already lost our sovereignty. And these people, they were happy to just sleepwalk along while it was happening. And now they're still sleepwalking in the hypnosis as these very same people. I mean, Mark Carney has broken just about every single campaign commitment. And he was very careful not to be very specific. He's governing completely differently from that which he promised. And these hypnotized masses just go along. I don't know what it's going to take to wake them up. But the reason the independence movement is so strong is because there is a growing belief in Western Canada that there is no hope of waking these people up. And we absolutely, desperately need to do something different just to prosper and survive. People shouldn't have to face starvation as the only choice. The political unity that people on the so-called right and so-called left, political figures, whether it's Stephen Harper or so-called impartial TIFF over at the Bank of Canada or Mark Carney or Doug Ford or even, let's be honest, Scott Moe or Wab Kanew, this unity that they're trying to bring us all together behind is built on the promise of suffering. If people aren't going to wake up in the face of that, are they ever going to wake up at all? Which is why so many are embracing independence. And I say all power to them. Let's go. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.